Well, glory. I want to preach to you tonight. Hope y'all need some preaching. I want you to go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Get your Bibles out. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I'm going to read this I'm going to read it in a King James version first. No, wait a minute. Before I do this, Andrea, did you get those pictures? I want to show y'all something. Y'all may have got this from Ivan today. Okay, y'all remember this family that was found under a tree, you know, and that was a girl they'd never seen soap, but they couldn't speak Spanish, you know. Well, look at the girl there. Holding the baby, okay? Now, I got to tell you all this before I show you the picture. I was talking to Ivan this afternoon. He's suffering for Jesus in Hawaii preaching. And so, you know, somebody's got to do it. It's a horrible place to go, but he's there in Hawaii. So anyway, I told him this, and I told him, I'm not telling you exactly what I said to him because I was a little too frank with him. I'd be nice with y'all. You know how I remember years ago, and I was probably wrong for doing this. This was before I was saved. I was reading some magazine or looking at, you know, like a sports, you know, Field and Stream or something like this, just magazine. And I'm not saying that's what it was. It was something of this nature. Though, and I was looking through it, and it was one of these deals about feed the children or save the children or, you know, some big organization. And there was a picture of a little girl on there, you know. And then I picked up another magazine, and there was the same picture of the little girl, except on one side, she had a mole on one side of the face, and the other side, she had a mole on the other side of the face. Now, it could have been a reverse negative or something like that, but when I saw that, it made me mad. It was like, they're moving the mole on the kid's face, you know? I mean, this isn't even, this little kid, you know, they're just trying to get me on there, and so I got angry about it, and I was just like, and so I told Ivan today, I said, listen, I would throw down on this if I didn't know you, if I didn't know this is real, but you're about to see, because you're not going to believe. It's the same little girl. I'll show you the other picture. There she is. I mean, flip it back. Look at her. See, she's in there. Beat down, living under a tree. Doesn't know Jesus. And then go to the next one. And there she is. And I'm telling you, I said, man, if you show me those two pictures, try to tell me that same girl, I'd throw down. I'd say, if I didn't know it, I didn't know it was for sure, I'd say, nah, you're lying, man. We're going to take you outside and beat you with a stick. You know, they're just trying to, you guys found another cute little girl and put her face up there. That's what Jesus can do. Isn't that amazing? By seeing that transformation of that and just seeing what it means to just find that somebody loves you and that they feed you and they don't beat you and they're not abusing you and they're just telling you about Jesus. And that was her picture when they'd gone to the big concert in worship expo there in Guatemala City and took them in there. Now, literally a year ago, she was under a tree, never taken a bath. And then this year, she's in Guatemala City at the expo. Worship deal. I mean, that's a shocker for her. But look at that, man. I just saw that. And I was like, my gosh, that's why I want to always keep doing what we're doing. Amen? Amen? Jennifer, I think it is. Is it Jennifer? You said it's Brenda? I said it's Jennifer. So anyway, okay, so that's that. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5, and I'm going to read this to you out of a King James version first. It says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Okay? Now, let me just read that to you in New King James. New King James says, examine yourself as whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Now, I never tell people, you know, oh, you got to read this Bible. This is the best translation. That's the best translation. You know, whatever. I've told y'all this before, but when I first started reading a Bible, I read a King James Bible. It was given to me. I didn't know there was other translations at the time. So I started learning scriptures, memorizing scriptures and everything in King James. Always had some problems with trying to understand what it was, how it was saying and everything, but I just gutted my way through, you know, reading that. And then I came across New King James, and, you know, I don't really have too many problems, but this is one time I got a problem, all right? Because it says the New King James uses that word disqualified. King James uses the word reprobate, all right? But when you look up what the Greek word really means, you know what it means? It means a man. That's it. What it's saying here, and I'm going to read this to you now in the Message Bible translation, okay? Uh-oh, lost it. Here you go. Here's the Message Bible. It says, test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. I hope the test won't show that you have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather the test show our failure than yours. In other words, what the true translation of what that scripture is trying to say, it doesn't mean that you were walking along and then your face started to lack and then you fell into a temptation and therefore you became disqualified and you're no longer a Christian. What it means is, and listen to this, I want to put it to you in the Robert Richards paraphrase, what I learned from looking at the Greek and praying about it all day. It's that you were walking along, ye VIPs, you mighty men and women of God, you overcomers, you sons and daughters of God, you spirit-filled temples of the living God were walking along in this world and you just stumbled and became just mere men. That's what he's trying to say. He says, don't just be like a mere man on the face of the earth. Don't just be walking along in what's going on. Look at yourself. Examine yourself. Test yourself. See what's going on with you. Ask yourself, are you growing in faith? Ask yourself, do you know Jesus is in you? And are you getting stronger? And are you overcoming this? And are you getting wiser? And are you hearing from heaven better? And are you getting more revelation from the word? And are you blessing people? And are you helping people? And are you, you know, growing in your faith? And if you're not, then, hey, don't act like a mere man on the earth. Don't get caught up with just working and earning an income and just trying to live life and just trying to keep your head above water and just make it and just, you know, you're a man of God. You're a son of God. You're an overcomer. You're more victorious. That's what he's saying. That's the whole Robert Richards paraphrase. Are you with me? So, it got me to, after reading this, it got me to thinking about some stuff. You know, I've always been a person who is examining myself and examining my motives. You know, I had an incident happen this week that made me mad. And, you know, it's always so funny because my wife, God bless her, you know, God gave me the perfect wife. And the Bible says, whosoever finds a good wife finds a good thing. And she is my good thing. And she keeps me straight. And, but if we ever have an argument, and we never throw down, have an argument, but I mean, if we ever get in a little tough, it's because she's always trying to tell me why I'm wrong in what I'm thinking. Because when I'm mad about something, I really want people to agree with me. I want everybody to rattle their saber with me and say, let's burn the place to the ground if they did that. And she stops and says, you know, are you thinking about this right? You know, it's probably, and I'm like, what are you doing, taking their side? I mean, you know, burn them! But, you know, I hate to say it, most of the time she's right. And what's made me angry has something's pricked me, something that's been done has touched something on the inside of me, which has caused me to react. And I'm not looking at it properly. And so this is what I'm talking about. You have to stop and examine yourself before you call fire down from heaven. You know, and that's what happened the day when Jesus went to the village, the Samaritan village, and they didn't receive him. And the disciples said, hey, you want us to call fire down on them? I mean, they're like, yeah, let's use some of this power. Let's burn them. And Jesus looks at him and says, you don't even know what spirit y'all are of. I mean, what are you talking about? You're going to burn a whole village of women and children out here killing them? That's not the kingdom of God. And right now we live in this world. And folks, I'm just telling you. And I don't, I'm not wanting to throw up, you know, I'm not wanting to put the DEFCON level higher. How about that? And throw fear in everybody. But man, this world is really going to hell in a handbasket real quick. There's some things happening today that I am like, you know, I cannot even wrap my brain around the evil that's behind it. You know, somebody goes in and, you know, robs a liquor store. You know, I mean, I not that I agree with it at all, but I kind of can understand it, you know. But the world is so wicked. There's so much wickedness happening. I'm like, I'm dumbfounded of how people today don't care about humanity at all or care about life at all. This thing that's been coming out about the abortions, I mean, I've been against, y'all know, I've been against abortions forever. We've done everything we could, but now the finding out the horrible, grody details about everything, I'm shocked that wickedness of that depth could take place in human beings. You know, we read about the Holocaust, and we read about the inhumanities to man. We read about the horrors of prisoner of war camps. We read about those kind of things. But now when we're living it, and I'm right in the middle of what's going on, and I'm thinking, how? How could that be in there? But it is. And in all that's going on, I want you to understand something. And this is what this message is all about. In all that's going on, and all the hoopla that's going on out there, I'm speaking prophetically to you right now. It's a distraction. Listen to me. That's all it is a distraction. It's something to get you, your jaw all torqued about and get yourself all stirred up about. I mean, come on, folks. You look at it today. I mean, just pull up the headlines on any news feed, and there's at least 10 ways you're going to die in a couple of years. Are y'all with me? Either the sun's going to kill us, you know, the climate's going to kill us, the government's going to kill us, the immigrants are going to kill us, the Ebola's going to kill us, the finances, the governments are going to crash, you know. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's just like you look at it all and it's like, and you could just get so caught up in it. You get so caught up in this same-sex marriage thing, and you know, it's wrong. I know it's wrong. But what I'm trying to say to y'all tonight is the urgency I feel on the inside of my spirit to tell y'all is, look, it's a distraction. Don't get off. And that's what happened to me this week. I got angry about something, and I was wanting to call fire down from heaven. My wife was saying, hey, what have you been preaching? Come on, it's a distraction. Don't waste any emotional energy on it. Yes, they're wrong. What they did is wrong. But you don't have to go prove yourself right. Just don't worry about it. Just go on. It's unimportant. And I'm like, well, but... And see, I get really, I mean, literally, I grew up, you know, with the greatest life as a kid. I grew up, you know, and where people still thought people were honest, and you could go do banking honest, and you could do different things, just, you know, shake hands, and everything was going to be okay. And those days, I miss them, because nowadays, everybody is presumed a thief, and then you have to prove yourself innocent. And I hate that. I don't like that. I don't like being thrown in the lump with all the bad people, and then me have to show that I'm not really trying to steal something. And they always look at me and say, well, I'm sorry, but this is just the rules, because, you know, there are people who do this. And I was like, I don't like getting caught up in it. It makes me feel that you're saying to me, I'm a thief, and I'm not a thief. And so... But it's a distraction. And so I was praying and just saying, Lord, what You know, I know Matthew 6:22 talks about if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. And if your eye be full of darkness, oh, how great is the darkness. And you're going to hear some more of this probably Sunday, because this thing is kind of building in me. But I was just praying and said, Lord, I know Jesus, I know the Bible, I'm saying, but what is the one thing that is really your focus? What's the one thing that through it all is that I can always just use as the litmus test to just kind of weed through everything? And he gave me a scripture. So go to Matthew 24. And I'll just show it to you like he showed it to me. Matthew 24, verse 3. Jesus is speaking. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and what will be the end of the age? I mean, that's a good thing to know, right? In other words, tell me what's going to happen before it happens so, you know, we can all be ready. And Jesus answered and said, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, because the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Okay? So all these things, signs he's saying, all these signs he's saying are happening. So, you know, it sounds a lot like today, but I think it will be worse, but it sounds a lot like today. But let's just say all these things are happening. You got false prophets, deception, hatred, you know, wars, pestilence, suffering, inhumanities, all these things are going on. But what is the one thing through everything he said there that's going to keep going? Preaching the gospel, telling people about Jesus. Through it all, he said, the one thing that always stands firm, that never changes, that never goes on, that you cannot get distracted off of, is telling people about Jesus. I mean, that sounds so simple, but just think about it, Frank. Isn't Jesus simple? I mean, everything he does, it's simple. He's saying, look, as long as, so look, that means if you're thinking about doing this in ministry, that's not really preaching the gospel, but it's proving a point, well then, wait a minute, it's the gospel. You gotta come back. If you're thinking about, you know, it's this is, you know, well then, wait a minute. No, it's got to come back over here to what the true reason why every one of you is a great man and woman of God, why he saved you, why he filled you full of the Spirit, why he made you the temple of the living God, why he loves you and gives you mercy for one reason, so you go tell somebody else. And if we ever lose sight of that, we're supposed to be declaring the good news that Jesus saves. If anybody ever tells you that we have to shut up and we can't do that, well, then we're missing the mission that we're called for. That's that picture, that little girl, that she just heard the gospel. That's what the gospel can do for people. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, part of the gospel, salvation, you know, making sure that somebody knows Jesus and is saved, right? But the good news is, you know, helping somebody else that's, you know, maybe doesn't know that they're free to be free, right? Or doesn't know that really, they don't really experience the love of God. For the love of God. That's why I love Freedom Prayer so much. and everything we're doing in Freedom Prayer, because it's about getting people to come to a place where they hear the voice of Jesus telling them what he wants them to hear. Man, I want the human element out of it. I want Jesus speaking to them because he is the one who has the best word. He's the one that has the answer. It's Jesus. And in this day and in this hour and in this time that we're in right now and everything going on and everything blowing up around us, we have got to get louder that Jesus is the answer. Not quieter. We've got to get louder. We've got to be more prepared. Are y'all with me? Now, well, let me just do this. Joseph, help me here. Now, before you can't, don't look at this before I get back up there and tell you what to do. Just make sure, just give everybody one. Yeah, yeah, you just don't look. Here, y'all pass those back around over there. Make sure everybody gets one. Pass those around over there. It's kind of like a test. Does everybody have one? Does everybody have a pen? You got a pen? Need a pen? Here's a pen. You need a pen? You got a pen? Don't let me hit you in the eye or something. Anybody else need a pen? Need a pen? Here you go. You're going to have a pen to make this all work out. Okay. Now turn it over and look at the very bottom first. And there's a number 8 down there. You see a number 8 written in there? Now take your pen and scratch that number 8 out. Make it a circle. Like it's a point. Yeah, do it. Just do it. Just do it. Yeah, just scratch the number 8 out. Just put a little mark through the number. Not the whole thing, number 8. Just the number 8. Just the number 8. Make a little circle on it. Make a little point there. If you messed yours up and you scratched all over, then let me know and I'll give you another one here. Yeah, just the 8, the number 8, just the number 8, not everything that says behind the number 8, literally just the number 8, just scratch it out. You got it? Okay, now, the reason why we did that, go to the top heading, it says 7 steps to heaven. There's a little typo between my wife and I typed this up, and then got excited, added a number 8, forgot to change the heading. So now that's just that was an 8, now is just simply a bullet point. You see? So it's still 7 steps with a bullet point at the end, just a nice little reminder. Yeah, I didn't find that out till we were coming into church. Okay, so what this is this is simply, I gave each one of these cards because years ago we did this, and I have one stuck on my Bible, and some of y'all may, that we did up like a little Romans Road, a little deal, that a sticky that you could actually stick in the front of your Bible that gave you, I don't even know if it was these exact scriptures, but gave you scriptures that you could help to lead somebody to Jesus. And so if you had your Bible with you, you know, you just open it up and there it is. And so we didn't have a sticky deal, and I just thought of all of this afternoon, and so my wife helped me bail me out here. So it's just a card with these scriptures on here. But what it is these are just 7 scriptures with a bullet point. 7 scriptures to help you fulfill what I just told you that is your call. 7 things, 7 scriptures that you can sit down with a person and introduce them to your friend Jesus. See, this is my friend Jesus. I want you to meet my friend Jesus. Are y'all with me? Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. Here you are, not being mere men. Because mere men don't care about what happens to somebody else. Mere men are interested in their business succeeding, not anybody else's. Right? Mere men just want to one up somebody else. But sons of God care where eternal souls end up. I've always been against, you know, the being a wearing a long robe and beating a tambourine and carrying a family Bible around and trying to get everybody to, you know, get saved. I've always been against, I've taught my children to be against, you know, preachers that preach hellfire and damnation, but rather for those that preach the love of God. My daughter, you know, she's a lot like me, and she one time stopped when she was in Florida, when she was living back there, and there were some street preachers out, and they had all these signs, you know, you're going to burn in hell, repent, and all this kind of stuff. And she got mad, pulled the car off the side of the road, and got out, went over there, and jumped right in the middle of all of them, you know, with a whole bunch of scriptures on the love of God and whatever, and told them they didn't know what they were doing. They ought to get out of there. The bad, you know, makes all Christians look bad. Y'all need to get out of here. And whatever. I was like, way to go, daughter, you know. Because nothing makes me more violently angry than when my Jesus, my loving Jesus, my amazing God is misrepresented by other humans. You know, whether it be preachers or whoever, they're all, you know, misrepresenting my God. It's our job to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith, even in this one area. Not that we become so overbearing that nobody wants to be around us, but that we know what we're here for, and that is to preach the gospel. So many times when I'm around guys that I know are not saved, and they know that I'm a pastor, rather than just beating them up with the gospel, I'm just always just saying, look, man, God's got a better way than that. Or my favorite one is, look, stop saying that God didn't damn anything. He's a blesser. And it always is this, look at me like, what? And they don't know what to say, you know, just whatever. I'm just letting people know that there's a better way. And I have seen such fruit from that. But there is, just think about that, there's nothing greater on the face of this earth than you can do than to introduce somebody to your friend Jesus. Because then that is a miracle. Think about it. That's a miracle. It is an absolute miracle. That person is going to live forever in heaven. What an amazing thing to change the eternal destiny of a soul. And all I'm saying to you tonight is that we get so caught up with everything that's going on, the distractions, when the real focus that we're supposed to keep in life is this is our job, this is our destiny, wherever we're going and whoever we're around, it's about telling people about this great Jesus we know. They may already be saved and already be a Christian, so then what are you going to do? You're going to encourage them. Pick them up. Help them up in the ditch in life. But that's our job. So when Paul says, back to 2 Corinthians 13, when he says to examine yourself, he's saying, man, are you staying in the faith? We're supposed to be looking at ourselves and examining ourselves and saying, are we in the faith? Not are we still saved? Not are we, you know, going to go to heaven? No, no, no. Are you getting caught up with it all? And I realize, man, with people, you know, in life, and there's, you know, major things in this. And I, you know, myself, I mean, I preach this to myself. I have to stop and examine myself. Why am I doing this? Am I just getting caught up in a distraction? And we can't do it. And all I can tell you is it's going to get worse. The distractions. That doesn't mean your life has to get worse. Right? When we were driving back from vacation and when we got into Houston and we found, hit all this traffic and I was getting... It's so hard to stay focused and drive. You know, you've got vehicles everywhere. You're watching your mirrors. You're checking your, you know, your right and your lefts and your rears and forwards. And then all of a sudden everybody's speeding up to 70. And then they're stopped dead and straight in front of you, you know. And then there's this, oh, look at that sign. What was that? Oh, you know, you can't. I mean, you can't get off distracted for a minute or you're going to have a wreck. And I would bet that if they talk to people about, you know, why did this wreck happen? I bet you, you know, 99% of them are all because they were distracted. That's why they're trying to tell everybody, quit talking to your cell phone. You can't do that. Or texting or doing anything else, right? But have you ever noticed that when you're driving like that and if you have the radio on and it's playing music and it gets kind of crazy and everything and it's going on, you got to shut something off. Your body can't take in all the senses of everything that's going on and still keep on your mission in life, keeping it on the road. Same thing what he's talking about here. Don't let all the distractions, don't let all the frustrations, don't let all the irritations of life come against you so that then you miss what you're called to do. Spread the gospel. Because you're not mere men. You need to wake up. Everybody say, I'm not a mere man. You need to wake up and every morning. You ought to write that on your mirror. So the first thing you see when you wake up is, I'm not a mere man. You're not a mere man. You're a son and a daughter of God. Born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. Overcomers. More than conquerors. You may not feel like it, but you are. The power of God lives in you. And all of heaven is sitting there just waiting to move on your behalf. That's what's mind-blowing. That angels are ready to just go at your dispatch and be sent out, whatever the word is coming out of your mouth. But they don't get they get confused and don't know what to do when there's nothing but doubt and unbelief coming out of your mouth. It happens to me all the time that when I'm on a job or something or working with guys, when there's no direction, there's going to be problems. I just need somebody to give me some directions and so I can go out there and tell everybody, okay, you go do this and you go do this and you go here and you go there and you go this and, you know, and then everybody starts to flow and then all of a sudden the wheels start to move and everything starts to get to working. But when there's no direction, everybody's just going to do their own thing, man, it's a mess. Well, just imagine what heaven's looking down at earth when he's trying to look at all of us and he's just wanting us to tell people about Jesus and we're just running off the grid. It's got to be kind of an ugly sight. Amen? Amen. So, everybody say again, I'm not a mere man. Look at the person beside you and say, you're not a mere man. Amen? And so, take my 7 points plus a nice little bullet point there and, you know, use it, write on it, scratch it. I may come up with some stickies later that are bright and check our spelling and everything a little better. But you have the basics tonight. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Bill, help me. We need an offering envelope. What was funny when we were on, when we were down this little trip, I left my Bible. Of course, I had my phone with me, but I wanted a Bible. Well, in the car, I had a Bible, but it was an old Bible. And so anyway, it's a Bible I hadn't used in a long time. And I pulled it out, and I was reading through it and reading it and doing all my daily reading in that Bible. And I came across a page, and this Seven Steps to Heaven, those scriptures were in on a piece of paper that were already, you know, printed out and everything. And it was like, it was back in 98, 97 or something like that when I did it then. And the Holy Ghost said, that needs to be done now. And I was like, wow, well, I was on track then. Praise God, you know, let's get it out. So, anyway, put your hand on your offering. Let me pray over it. Father, I declare these are the wealthiest people on the face of the earth. They are blessed above all they can imagine. You said in Ephesians 3, Lord, and 20, that you'd do exceedingly abundantly all we can even think or ask. So, Lord, every need that they have, every prayer that they're praying, everything that they're believing for their finances, you can want to do exceedingly abundantly beyond they could even think. It's you that gives a seed to the sower and bread for the eater. Lord, it's you that gives us the seed that goes out there and produces an abundant crop. So, Lord, I thank you for blessing their businesses, blessing their lives, pouring out upon them everything that they have need of, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. What's Sunday? Communion Sunday, August. Can y'all believe it's August? How could it be? I remember when I was a kid, I didn't think the world would ever turn over, that I could ever graduate from school. Now it's like, whoa, what in the world? Slow down. My goodness. It's unbelievable. Well, stand up, look at the person beside you, say it to them again, you're not a mere man.